Hey guys, it's Dan Plucker, executive producer of the Wendy's Big Show and host of Hef, Sam, and Dan on The Fan. Here's how you can find us on the radio.com app. Download the app, favorite The Fan, hit 105.7 FM The Fan, scroll all the way down to The Fan Podcasts, scroll to the right until you see the producers, hit that, and right there should be Hef, Sam, and Dan right here on The Fan.
Percy Harvin's also out there. He wants to apparently come out from retirement.
Isn't he like 38?
Yeah, so he said he wants to. No, he's not.
He's 34, I think.
He was one of those guys where he was in and out in a flash.
Still probably faster than
I bet he's faster than me.
I'll bet the house on that.
And it is episode 23 of Hef, Sam, and Dan on The Fan On Demand. Man. I am Evan Heffelfinger. I think this week I will be both the associate and the acting executive producer of the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.
Again? We have
Joe's going away for a couple of days.
Another
I think.
One.
Oh, no. No, it's because Sparky's going away.
Yeah,
so
Joe's
has to host
the
big show.
Yes, on Wednesday, Thursday, Friday this week.
It's all three
of those
days. If
you want to hear Joe's and Zola talk Badgers and golf, those are your days to be on listening to the Wendy's.
Hey, that
big
is
show.
So mean. We are 2 seconds into this. What if he listens to this?
Dude, okay, I love Joe. Don't get me wrong. But if he listens to this last week, he would already be mad at us because of what the conversation about his, you know.
Well, Joe.
Maybe he listens to the first 5 minutes, in which case he's probably going to be still
kind of
mad at me.
Joe, in case you're wondering who it was who said that, is Dan Plucker, executive producer of the Wendy's Big Show. And also joining us today is Sam Schmitz, the producer extraordinaire, now doing a lot of Brewers Post. Might even do some
for
Bucks
now.
Post.
Probably
yeah.
Not.
Well, that's we're going to get right into that because, guys, just like baseball is here, it's gone. I have
Stop
no
it.
Optimism. I have no hope for a season. The handling of all of this, not only Rob Manfred, but the players, it's bad. I mean, so what's the date today? The 2nd of August?
Yes, yeah. Today's August 2nd.
Over under August 15th before the league is canceled.
Ooh.
I mean, you got to realize, as bad as like things are right now, and as bad as, you know, the fact that they didn't take enough time to go over the safety protocols and stuff like that, you have to realize the domino effect of if they do cancel the season, it's going to have a lot of implications for the NFL season.
Which I think is almost a good thing, because the NFL should be taking notes and learning from this, because look at all the sports that are going on right now.
Oh, absolutely.
Baseball is struggling. MLS, doing well. Hockey, granted week one, also doing well. Same with the NBA. Knock on wood for all of those. But what's the difference between all those? It's a bubble.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Is there any possible way to, one, do baseball in a bubble? They tried Arizona. That just doesn't make sense.
No, too hot.
And football, where are they going to do it? Like Texas? You had the idea of Michigan, Dan?
Yeah.
But I don't think those southern teams are going to want to go up there when it's cold.
Yeah, that's a good point. I don't know. It'll be really interesting to see. I saw a tweet from Andy Herman.
Where
it was
friend of the program.
I don't think he's actually I've never actually talked to him, but hey, Andy Herman, friend of the program.
I've talked to him a little bit.
I know you have. But he basically plotted out this idea where teams, they did hub cities in the NFL for each division. So like the NFC North all met in Minnesota and they played 9 games or something like that.
At like University of Minnesota?
No, at US Bank Stadium. So
they would do all 3 games a day? Like,
It would be 2 games a day.
Oh, I guess, yeah. That would be 2. I can't count.
It's okay. So 2 games on every Sunday at each of these hub division locations.
Okay.
And then whoever won that division moved on to go to the next hub where it would be like the start of the playoffs, basically. And so the playoffs would just start right after those hub divisions. You can do a week of quarantine and test players and stuff in between when they move to the new location. And then you just keep playing until eventually a Super Bowl.
The one thing that the NFL has going for them is that they only play once a week. Baseball, they're playing every day. So if you're getting tested every day and the tests don't come back for another day or two after that,
right.
And if you don't show symptoms or even a positive test for 2 or 3 days after you're exposed to it, it's bad for baseball. But NFL, if you get into the city Saturday, you play Sunday, you probably do your testing Friday, I would say, just so that they can scratch you by Sunday. And then you leave immediately, go back to your quarantine at home. It's slightly more plausible than baseball.
It is, but then you all have to consider, too, I mean, yeah, you only play once a week, but that just means you have that much more time to worry about players and what they do off the field.
Because
we've seen that in baseball now, is that, hey, you know, they knew going into the season that, you know, what they did off the field was going to impact their team on the field. And unfortunately, I told Bart this yesterday, I mean, guys are going to be guys if there's no bubble.
Yeah,
100%. Things are going to happen. They're going to go out and party and do stuff like that. Now, we don't really know what the Marlins did exactly, but they were out in Atlanta, basically, and that's all we need to know.
And the Cardinals, the rumor was they were at casinos.
Right. Doesn't matter exactly what they did? No, but, I mean, all we know is that they were out and about, and if it's going to happen the whole season, if there's no, you know, quarantining in the hotels or, you know, I don't want them to, like, have to stay in their hotels and all that, but if that's what it's going to take to get 60 games in, it's probably worth it.
Yeah, and that's
do.
Exactly why Lorenzo Cain opted out, if
and
you think
I don't
about
blame
it.
Him at
I don't
all.
Blame him either.
Not at all.
If I was in the situation, I probably would have done the same thing. It's just the fact of the matter that, like, you can trust yourself. You can't trust the other people around you. And, like, Lorenzo Cain, having talked to him, having seen him in the clubhouse, like, he is that responsible dad. Like, he has 3 kids
yeah,
pretty much at all times in the clubhouse after games. Like,
right.
All of
his
kids running around.
His family was in Milwaukee, too, which is a big factor.
Right. And now the Brewers have done the road trip and seen what this season is going to look like on the road. And pretty much the hell that it is, because you're
right.
Terrified of flying in the plane. I mean, Ryan Braun touched on it. He said that the plane ride felt like, I don't remember his exact quote, but
just
he was,
didn't feel safe.
Right. He didn't feel safe on the plane rides. And I don't know what necessarily that means, but.
Right. But I mean, I think we're all waiting for him to eventually
to be
opt
the
out.
Next guy. Right.
Right.
And who knows how many more there will be. But then as soon as you get the comfort of returning home, where you had these summer camps, where you had all of this stuff going for you, where you felt comfortable, a team comes in and ruins it by acting foolishly and going out and doing all these things against the, I guess, not rules stated by the MLB, but the
right.
rules stated by local governments and federal governments of staying at home.
Which, if those rules weren't in the 113-page safety manual,
then there's something wrong with the safety manual. Right, right. And I'm sure it's somewhere in there. I'm sure. But the thing is, like, how do they make these players read all of the rules? They don't.
Right.
They probably didn't.
Well,
they probably did a brief, like, look over with the PR department for the Cardinals in front of the players, where they're all on their phones not paying attention like typical athletes would
right.
be in that situation. I would be like that in that situation, knowing when I was an athlete. So it's, it's not necessarily at the fault of the players from that perspective,
no.
with knowledge of what the rules are. But it is their fault for not using common sense and realizing what happened with Miami could also happen to you.
Right.
It's this mentality that because I'm me, I can't get infected by this virus. It won't happen to me. It'll happen to other people, but it won't happen to me. It's such a selfish outlook, and because of the selfishness throughout Major League Baseball, and I'm sure throughout all other businesses and organizations that think that they can be fine and bend the rules, they're suffering from it. That baseball is suffering from it, and they're going to end up losing their season if they're not careful.
I mean, we have our first player that has to sit out the season because of COVID complications.
Yeah.
Eduardo Rodriguez.
Yeah, the pitcher for the Red Sox.
One of the best pitchers on the Red Sox. If I were a player, I it would depend on my situation. If I was a guy like Brandon Woodruff, where, or I guess like even maybe Christian Yelich, who's single, they, you know, they don't have like a wife and kids to go home to. They haven't made much of their money. I know Yelich has, but like, you know, I would continue playing, knowing I mean, if I was me, I know what I like to do, and I know that after my game, I could go and like play video games and watch TV and be content. If I was a player who had made his money or has his kids, why would you play?
Right.
Especially if you're living with them, you brought them back to the city that you're playing in. Why would you play? And that's what people are worried about. I think, I mean, let the prospects step up. Let them make some money. Let them get experience in the big leagues in a year that's not going to really matter for much in the long term. The asterisk on this season is going to be ridiculous as is. If they had played 60 games, there would be less of an asterisk. But considering that now they're going to have to go by winning percentage for playoffs and everything, this season is it's
a mess.
It's a mess. So why not, if these veterans who have made their money or they have their kids, if they want to opt out, they absolutely should. I would recommend it. And let these prospects, let the single guys, let the guys who are on their like their first contract or first year of arbitration or something, let them be the ones playing if they feel safe and fit.
It's weird, too, because now you got guys like Markakis, too, who are opting back in.
That makes no sense to me.
That was weird.
It's just, I don't know, sorry to cut you off.
Well, I just said, I mean, I don't think Mike Trout's coming back.
Oh, I don't blame him.
The Angels said they aren't sure if he would be here today after his kid was born yesterday.
Right.
They were like, he might join back like Monday.
No, Trout's a competitor. I think he'll be back.
He's a competitor, but man, imagine
right.
abandoning
it's right
your
after
wife
you're having your kid,
pandemic.
Right, and your newborn baby. I guess we'll see. You bring up a great point because he was considering doing it in the first place, opting out in the first place.
Yeah.
We'll see. I mean, that's a lot of money to say no to.
I mean, but I don't have a kid that I know of, and but I know that from what I've heard, once you have your kid, your life changes. Your thoughts change.
His first kid?
This is his first
okay.
kid.
So
your
maybe.
Thoughts change. Your mindset. Your goals, your long-term, everything, it changes once you see that kid. So
we're speaking of the mentality of certain people and players who opt out, and I just want to say one thing, which is shame on NFL players. I don't know if you guys saw this report, but apparently the NFL is considering setting a deadline for the opt-out date because players who are considering holding out for their contracts are using the opt-out clause as leverage.
Really?
So they're saying, if you don't give me a deal, then I'll just opt out because I cannot play and you guys still will potentially have to pay me something. Or I just won't play and not make any money.
Is it like Yannick Ngakoue?
I don't know who it was. The NFL didn't name names, but I think Ian Rappaport had something out about it this morning where he said that players were using this opt-out clause as leverage,
right.
So the NFL's considering making a deadline.
It's just
so when you have these MLB guys right now that are thinking about their families, they are thinking about their children, they're thinking about their newborns, and
they're getting killed for it.
They're like, right, they're damned if they do, damned if they don't.
And
they're not worried about money. I mean, some of them might be when it comes to the players that aren't making a lot of money, but
sure.
Then when you talk about NFL players whose base salary is more than that of an MLB player, much more.
Right.
And sure, the top players in the MLB make more than the top players in the NFL.
Right, but
not named Patrick Mahomes.
But the people on the rookie contract are making peanuts on the dollar.
Right, exactly, and that's not the case in the NFL. And so these players, instead of focusing on what's right, are trying. They're playing the selfish card now and saying, oh, well, I'm going to use this global pandemic that could cripple the sports world and already has to my own financial benefit. Shame on the NFL players.
But then there are people like Marquise Goodwin who backed out because his wife had like, what was it, 3 miscarriages, and finally they have like a newborn who's a
right.
few months old.
Completely different situation.
And people are crucifying him on, well, not I don't want to call him people because that's mean to people everywhere for these people to be looped in with them. But these trolls are crucifying him for backing out, calling him all sorts of names and calling him a coward and all this. When I can't even imagine going through what he's gone through. And it's hard to make a decision to pass up on a couple $1 million. But
right.
Well, that just shows that football isn't long-term.
I guess it hasn't struck us too much because, I mean, the only opt-out so far has been Devin Funchess. And
right.
sure, that's
and
really
that also,
big one.
That also, like, it makes sense for him to opt out.
Right. And, I mean, it wasn't, I think it was received pretty well by Packers fans and wasn't frustration at him, but rather frustration at the organization because the organization failed to draft a wide receiver in a stacked wide receiver draft class, which we've talked about already.
Yeah, it just makes it even more unfortunate, but not much you can do about a national pandemic.
But to go back to your original question, Evan, yeah. Over under August 15th for baseball, I'm an optimist. I'm going to say that they're going to continue to play.
Right.
And it's really bad right now. It is. And it might be really bad for the entire season.
Pick that up.
But it did pick up your sneeze, okay. Yeah. So thank you for infecting both Sam and us with COVID now.
You're welcome.
Anyway, what was I talking about? Now I don't even remember.
On whether
Thanks,
or not
Simon.
They think you're going to make it to
60
games. Oh,
yeah. So I think that they're going to make it. I think that the players now realize the importance of all of this.
You hope.
And no, I think it's hit them at this point. I do. I think that they realize, at least the smart ones, and maybe even some of the dumb ones, realize that we've had already 20% of the MLB season shut down in terms of games,
mm-hmm.
because in terms of the amount of games because of COVID. And if they're not careful, as Manfred threatened, and he said it wasn't a threat, but it was a little bit of a threat, that he could cancel the season if it doesn't continue. So, if all of this continues.
Sorry to cut you off, but what I don't like is him getting up on his high horse like that.
Yeah, it was
like,
bad.
At this point, yeah, this technically isn't his fault that the players are going out and doing it. And yes, the players absolutely 100% need to be better. But Manfred, you are not without blame in this.
No, he's not.
No, and we shouldn't be making up rules as the season goes by. We shouldn't be turning doubleheaders into seven-inning games, you know, a couple games into the season. We shouldn't, you know, this whole thing is just a show of how ill-prepared they were. Well, yeah, they wasted time in the negotiations, and they didn't take enough time on the health and safety protocols. I mean,
yeah,
Eric Name said it, like, the NBA could have been back before MLB.
Yeah,
the
no,
NFL,
easily.
You know, is taking their time, and they're still trying to figure out what they're going to do, and granted, they have the most time, but, you know, baseball, I think they rushed it in like a couple days, and it's really showing. I mean, we had problems with the testing when the season started. Mm-hmm. The fact that when a team tests positive, that they don't just automatically cancel the whole series. Like, we have to wait day by day. The players have to wait day by day. I mean, Brett Anderson didn't.
Yeah, this
know
was a mess. This weekend was a mess.
What's the point of having the taxi squad if you can't use a taxi squad because you have to cancel games to test?
So that's my biggest. I mean, I'm like you, Dan. I think they're going to go over August 15th, and I think they will keep playing the season. But it just shows, man. Like, we were not. MLB was not prepared for this. It really kind of irks me the wrong way that I feel like they're still worried too much about the money and not about the player's safety. When you got guys like Anthony Rizzo complaining about, you know, being in the locker room
too
long.
Sitting in the clubhouse 8 hours during a rain delay.
And like I said, my biggest issue is just the fact that it's day by day and, like, the players are figuring out stuff like we are on Twitter from, like, you know, the insiders like John Heyman, Bob Nightingale, and stuff like that. I mean, that's just there should already be precautions and stuff like that.
Right. I think the MLB was hoping for a best-case scenario with all of this where if one player tested positive, they would, you know, sit him aside and the rest of the team would be fine. But this virus is not a best-case scenario.
No.
It's
no.
going to
well,
ravage.
And the thing is,
and the players aren't socially distancing
enough.
So,
yes, like, the MLB should have been much more prepared for all of this. But, to be fair to everybody in the situation, at one point it did seem like we were on the downward of this thing. And then, like, pretty much right when baseball started up again, and a week or two before then, is when spikes in cases started up again. And so it's not
on that, but
entirely right. We don't necessarily have to, but nonetheless, baseball should have been more prepared for this situation and for their season, and they should have had better mandated rules, like, and ways to enforce them. Like, I'm sorry, but when I watch Keston Hira hit a bomb and then hug Ryan Braun and Christian Yelich as he heads back to the dugout and high five every single player in that dugout, it's like, guys. Like, and I'm not calling out the Brewers because every team in baseball is doing it.
Literally, it's nature.
It's not just the Brewers.
Your boy hits a home run, you're going to celebrate.
Right. But, and also, how about the fact that these guys weren't supposed to be in the dugouts at all, and they were supposed to be socially distancing in the stands, but instead, they're all standing right next to each other in the dugout every single day. Like, guys, it's read the protocols and MLB freaking enforce them.
Well, yeah, that's the thing that's made me laugh is it's like they're like the players are so on safety and then they're just ignoring everything. And then there's no one there to enforce it, which is why it's funny that just now they're bringing in the COVID enforcers.
The COVID cops.
Which I'm sure the players are absolutely thrilled about.
Yeah, good luck telling a 15-year-old that, you know, don't do this, don't do this. I mean, even like tossing the ball around the horn after an out.
They can't do that anymore.
Well, they're still doing it. Players, it's just natural, you know, it's just common, I don't know what... And it's just instinct for them almost. I mean, you hear Ed Cedar when they were doing the summer camp scrimmages, like when they're about to do, don't throw the ball, don't throw the ball, and they're still doing it. I've only seen like one team really uphold the rules, and that's the Angels, because they've been like tapping helmets on home runs and stuff like that. But yeah, I agree. Like Council said a week ago or something, somebody asked him about it, and it's like, it's going to happen. But now I think after all this, it can't happen anymore.
Right. It can't. And it's just a shame that. Like we're human, you know, like it's like these things are so ingrained into baseball and into our everyday life that we can't stop some of the things that we do, even though we know at this point that it's wrong. So like I said, I don't blame the players. I mean, I do for not understanding and not actively thinking about it every moment they're on the field. But at the same time, like. I'm sure I do a bunch of things that I shouldn't do anymore.
Oh, 100%.
Either. Like all the time. Like I touch my face. I do all these
my
different
face
things.
So much. I've touched my face like 12 times since I've been in here.
Right. And it's just like because they're on a spotlight, because they're on TV, it's easy to pick out all of these things against them. And so I understand because I have my own faults and failures as well. But it's just frustrating because there has to be somebody there, even if it's somebody on the team that has to be the appointed person. And now, obviously, with the COVID cops going in, there are people there.
Yeah.
But there has to be some sort of discipline put in place when rules are adherently broken. And that's been happening way too often.
I'm seeing like one guy, too. I forgot who it was in the batter's box. I think it was Xander Bogaerts. Every time, you know, he's getting out of the batter's box, doing his gloves again, and then he is just hacking a loogie right in front of home plate every single time.
So many people spitting.
So many people spitting.
And like I said, the funny thing for me is just the guys going around the horn because then afterwards they throw it right back to the pitcher, and the pitcher just looks at the ball like, well, I got to get a new one.
Right.
So
that was no help.
Right. I mean, baseball basically just needs to get it together. And do I trust them too with the leadership of Rod Manfred? Absolutely not. But we have seen before the Miami Marlins and the Cardinals, we did see good test results and stuff like that. So I think it is possible. It's just this next week is, I can't emphasize how crucial it is for the season of baseball, you know, and how much this determines on whether or not we're actually going to make it to 60 games and stuff like that. But like I said, the fact that we're still figuring out this as we go is really kind of foolish.
Yeah, we'll wrap this up here in a second. There's one more thing that I kind of wanted to touch on, and it's something that it makes sense why it's happening, but I feel like I wish that it was a little bit different, that this year will count as a contract year for Lorenzo Cain. So at like going into next year, he'll only have 2 years left on his deal.
Mm-hmm.
I understand why they're doing that, and I understand why Stearns said that, but I wish that they had like, I don't know, maybe worked something out where it's like, okay, this season won't count. You'll still have 3 years left on your deal.
Yeah, that's an MLB mandated rule, not a Brewers one. Yeah, that was discussed way back when, like the first MLBPA deal, because basically the MLBPA was afraid that some of their up and comers, so like Bo Bichette, the shortstop for the Blue Jays, or like if it would have been last year, Vladimir Guerrero, that they would have played these guys and they wouldn't have gotten a year of time on their arbitration.
It's just the whole service time issue.
It's the service time issue. It goes beyond just veterans that are on their contracts. It goes to all those guys in arbitration who would lose a year of arbitration and thus more money.
I mean, that's what you're
hearing closer
like
to free agency
about Mookie Betts. If the season didn't play, that he'd be a free agent again.
That makes sense.
So that wasn't a Brewers thing with Lo Kane. It was an MLBPA thing from way back when.
Well, yeah, I think he's missing out on $6 million this year. So you want to talk about the ultimate sacrifice. you got to give it up to Lokane.
Right. Well, and then, like, I was talking with Timmy about this. Tim Allen, host of the Bayview Shane Blind postgame show and the Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin on Deck show. And I was telling him, like, if Ryan Braun opts out, I think he might just retire.
I wouldn't necessarily agree with
because,
that.
Because, I mean, at that point, because the whole thing about this time for him is that for him deciding whether or not he wants to play is that he wants to be with his family and he wants to keep his family safe.
Yeah, it would be a good test for him to see if he and his wife can live together forever.
And if he can go back home and he loves his time at home and he loves his time off, like, I could legitimately see him just being like, you know what, I don't need to go back.
That,
like,
makes sense.
Like, this could be it. Because he's on the last year of his deal, too. So if he opts out, his career as a Brewer for now is over.
Yeah, in theory. Although, well, you know, there's a team option next, or a mutual option.
Yeah, it's mutual. But that's what I'm saying. Like, he's not tied into it 100%.
Sure.
So, and plus, I mean, there's no way in hell the Brewers are taking a mutual option with him to get make $16 million or whatever it is.
After he came into the year already banged up, it's like, oh, God, here we go again. We haven't even played a game.
So if they do reach a mutual option, it's going to be for an extremely discounted price.
Yeah, it'll be a couple milli. But, you know, that would suck.
It would suck.
To see the end of an era of a Milwaukee legend, no matter what happened. We don't need to talk about that. We need to, you know,
well, it's just like, you know, if I put myself in Braun's shoes, I wouldn't want my career to end like that. But I get it if it did. So that's a conversation for another day. We'll see.
Yeah.
Yeah, I can tell you one person's Milwaukee career that isn't done yet and, in fact, could be going on for quite a long time. We're going to talk Giannis and the Bucks right after this break. Not my dad. I'm not going to rush into this, okay?
I love Kawhi.
You know what I love?
What?
I love the Bucks. And welcome back to Half Sam and Dan on the Fan on Demand. Episode 23, the Michael Jordan episode.
Ooh.
The Ricky Weeks episode.
Ooh.
The
Jair Alexander episode.
The Downtown Sterling Brown episode.
Ooh.
It's been a good one so far, boys. It's good to be back in the saddle, you know?
Yeah.
And you know who else is just so glad to be back in the saddle? The Milwaukee Bucks.
Oh.
Well, Giannis, too.
He's a part of that.
I mean, it's the Milwaukee Giannis's.
Giannis's Bucks.
NBA is back, officially.
Woo!
Woo! Last week, we said we were going to talk about it this week. It's this week, and we're going to talk about it.
Yeah.
The Bucks picked up a huge win.
Big dubs.
Over the Celtics on Friday. Controversial ending. Controversial anything as long as Marcus Smart is involved in the game.
Yep.
But Giannis looked mid-season form. Chris Middleton struggled mightily.
Yeah.
But
he was hot at the start, and that's when they went on that 17-2 run to start because Middleton was playing pretty well.
And then he missed
Chris, though. I mean, he nailed that. Him and Wesley, they're cold from three, but they nailed one at the very last couple of minutes when it mattered.
I mean, that's the thing about Chris that people don't realize is how clutch he is. When it comes down to the last minute of the game, he is so clutch.
He is. And he's that outside shooter late in games that's paired with Giannis because Giannis doesn't necessarily have that clutch gene yet. He doesn't have that, like...
Well, at least that he's going to, like, hit the three.
Right.
Or fadeaway.
Yeah, right. And Middleton's kind of that guy that will.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's kind of why they pair so well late in games. Because, I mean, Giannis will drive to the rim, get a big dunk, or he'll do, like, a...
Euro.
Right. He'll drive into the lane, get a nice Euro step in there and have a good finish. But I think when it comes to the end of game situations where you're kind of trying to drain the clock and you want a good, like, mid-range shot maybe from, like, a fadeaway, I think Middleton's kind of your guy and not necessarily Giannis, which I guess we'll probably wind up seeing at some point throughout this process, whether it be in the playoffs or here in one of these games where there's going to be a last second shot and we'll see who ends up getting the ball in their hands for it.
Think about what was it, game two or three of the season against the Heat when it was Chris Middleton who got
right.
the ball.
And I think it was
And then Giannis, you know, it was a nice pass to Giannis, that's what we're gonna call it. And it tied the game.
Most of those situations though, yeah. I mean, Chris gets the, you know, corner three to try to finish the game off, and I mean, 9 times out of 10 he usually gets it.
So I saw this thing from a Celtics fan. I think Sparky retweeted it.
Yeah, so I know what you're talking
on
about.
On Friday. And it was him the Celtics fan talking about how he was encouraged by the loss because Jason Tatum was 2 for 18 or whatever, and Tatum was horrible. He was really bad. Defensively, too. I mean, Giannis, there was one play late in the game where Giannis crossed over Jason Tatum because he was going for a steal, and then Giannis drove for the lane through the lane. That's actually the play where Marcus Smart thought he was charged, but then was
well, and also
overturned.
Jason Tatum fouled Giannis twice on that play.
Right, he did. But anyway, Tatum was awful. He was really bad. And then this Celtics fan was saying that because Tatum's played so poorly and Kemba Walker had so few minutes, that he's actually hopeful that once, and confident, I think is the way he put it, that once they're fully healthy, that they could compete with the Bucks. And
well, let's break down every aspect of that right now.
Right. Let's do it.
Jason Tatum, yes, he was 2 for 18. Who was guarding him?
How about the best defender in the league, Giannis Antetokounmpo?
The guy who probably should win Defensive Player of the Year?
Defensive Player of the Year and MVP.
Interesting.
That's weird.
What did Chris Middleton shoot?
Like 7 for 18 or something around
there. It was worse than that.
Right.
I think
I'll look it up.
He was bad.
Almost the exact same as Jason Tatum's 2 for 18, if I remember correctly.
Yeah, he wasn't good.
What about that? What about when Chris Middleton gets back into shooting form?
6 for 20.
6 for 20. So not much better. Tell me, were the Bucks at full strength?
No, I think we were without our starting point guard, Eric Bledsoe.
Oh, our all defensive point guard,
right.
Eric Bledsoe? Huh.
And
all star candidate. And
I think we were also without, believe it or not, Pat Connaughton.
Oh, like one of our most dependable bench rotation guys.
Right.
Oh, interesting. And the Celtics, you said that they were missing some players though, right?
Carson Edwards.
Of course.
That sucks.
Raymond Langford.
You mean Romeo?
Romeo, that's what I meant. Yeah.
Romeo. Wherefore art thou, Romeo?
And also, I'm pretty sure that Marcus Smart still played.
Well, they were missing Taco Fall.
Of course, Taco.
If they had Taco, it's game over for Giannis, obviously.
If you ask anyone playing NBA 2K, you know that's the truth. look at how quickly we just completely destructed that.
Kemba Walker also played 20 minutes.
Yeah.
It's not like he didn't play at all.
Right.
He still played 20 minutes.
Which isn't a full slate of minutes, sure. But you can make a difference in 20 minutes. So, yes.
Just look at Zion. He's been playing 20 minutes.
Yeah. The Celtics weren't 100% full strength, but I would put them at 98. The Bucks are probably around 85, roughly, depending on which Eric Bledsoe you get on a given day. Chris and Jason Tatum evened out. Their point guard played more minutes than Eric Bledsoe. Is there even a discussion here?
I don't think so.
No.
I think it's foolish.
I get being a homer, because we're homers. We're looking at this from a Milwaukee Bucks standpoint, not a national standpoint.
Yeah.
So I get being confident in your team.
Breaking news.
Oh?
Not really.
Real
not
quick, before, I mean, even if Jason Tatum scores and all that, my biggest thing with the Celtics is, they're just not as big and lengthy as us.
Yeah.
Tice is their, biggest guy, right?
Yeah, him and Enes Kanter.
Good luck competing with Brook Lopez, Robin Lopez, and Giannis the entire game.
Right. Agreed. An eighth Patriot has now opted out.
All right.
And that is tight end Matt Lacoste. Not that he's that big of a deal.
We'll go back to the Bucks in a quick second, but I just want to say all of these Patriots are backing out because Belichick is telling them to, and they're going to go 2-14 and get Trevor Lawrence.
Yeah,
I mean, we're 100%.
Trevor Lawrence. Not even being funny, doing conspiracy theorists. That is what is going to happen.
I don't know why they signed Cam Newton then. I think
so that they can trade him or do something.
Yeah, that's
with
what they'll probably end up doing. They'll hope he plays well and then trade him for a third round pick or something like that.
That's what the goal is.
We're on to Cincinnati.
Yeah.
That's going to be crazy. Anyway, back to the Bucks. I 100% agree. I thought Giannis, it was typical that he would get into foul trouble.
In his press conference on Friday. He's I'm at probably 70-75% of my game strength, but I'm at 100% excited. And at the beginning of season, if you catch me, I'm fouling
a
lot.
Can we talk about that for a second? 75%, and the dude scores 36 points, 15 rebounds, and has 7 assists.
Right. And didn't turn the ball over much. I think he only had like two or three.
Let's look it up. I just had it open.
Maybe three or four.
I was looking at yesterday's sliding games.
It doesn't say turnovers on ESPN because ESPN. So.
Man, like you can say the Celtics weren't at their best, but it was clear after yesterday's slating games, Saturday, because we're recording this on Sunday, that, man, some of these teams are not
right
where they are.
I mean, also, the Bucks shot 31% from three on Friday against the Celtics.
Shoot incredibly well.
I mean, the Celtics shot 29.7. But
we're still missing Marvin Williams, too, right?
Yeah. Oh, that's right.
So
we missed Marvin.
I mean, Marvin's not that.
Right.
Don't you dare talk about my Marvin.
No, don't you. Don't even.
He's not often a guy that's going to be a difference maker.
You know what he is?
I disagree. If
ask Dante DiVincenzo about Marvin Williams.
Ask Bill Michaels about Dante DiVincenzo about Marvin Williams.
Okay.
But man,
deal.
So, wait, were we? I mean,
I don't know.
just the game.
Are we done with the Celtics recap? Or?
Sure.
Yeah, I just either way. I mean, it's a big win.
Because let's kind of dive into the whole league if we can, because man, the Lakers look a little rusty. Like they're starting to get their
game.
They
played bad last night against the Raptors.
Imagine, dude, the Raptors are scary.
Yeah, their defense.
Their
is
defense
absurd.
Is
because this setup is perfect for teams that are good on defense.
Yeah.
Because a lot of these teams are rusty. They're not ready to shoot. And a team that is so iron tight, like that team,
so
is brutal.
Kenny the Jet Smith brought up something really interesting the other day when he was on the Wendy's Big Show on Friday. You can check it out at 1057fmthefan.radio.com. He joined the Big Show and basically said that he thinks that multiple teams could compete with the Bucks in the East.
I agree.
And here's where I don't disagree with him. He brought up the point that there's no home court advantage anymore. So a lot of these young teams, they're going to be playing at a neutral court against the Bucks and not have to worry about a game 6 or a game 7 in Milwaukee.
Yeah.
And instead, all of these games are played with home court advantage, whatever the hell that's going to
wind up being.
They just
get their logos on the court.
Yeah, they get their logos on the court and the intro. Like, that's going to be nothing. And then the fans cheer when the virtual fans cheer while a Celtics player or whatever the opposing team is shooting free throws. That's not that much of a game changer.
The way that I see the East, it's five deep right now, which is not how it's been historically. I think Bucks number one. Right behind them, you have the Heat and the Raptors, depending on the game and the day. And you'll notice the common theme between both of those teams is defense and length. They're perfect matchups against the Bucks. 4 and 5, I have the Celtics and the Sixers. They don't scare me, but they're also really good teams that you can't sleep on. Then, dropping down, you have the Pacers, the Magic, and then, you can call them the Nets, but they're really not the Nets. So the East is deep, and it scares me.
Right.
Because in a way, I think that the Bucks' path to—it's not even in a way. The Bucks' path to the NBA Finals is harder than any path the Western Conference will have to go through, in my opinion. I think so.
Man, I don't know. Because
think about how depleted and bad the Utah Jazz look right now.
Yeah, they got whooped by the Oklahoma City Thunder yesterday.
The Pelicans aren't— great.
No, I mean, I'm not, yeah.
The Grizzlies are a fun team to watch, but they're not that great.
No.
But
I'm just thinking, like, once you get to the second round in the Western Conference Finals, I feel like those matchups would be a little, depending on who, the Bucks play and all that, but, like, I feel like those matchups between those teams would be a little tougher.
Maybe it's just I'm looking at it from a Bucks standpoint, like, if they were in the West. Because the Bucks match up very well against some of those teams in the West. But in the East, because those teams have built their teams to stop Giannis, kind of like how teams would build their team to stop LeBron, it's scary.
Right.
Because you go into Toronto, in the bubble, you go to Toronto and you see Pascal Siakam, one of the best just defenders in the NBA, Marcus Gasol. You have multiple guys, like even the scrappy guys like OG Anunoby and those kind of like middling small forward-ish guys that can defend. That's scary. Then you go to Miami, and Eric Spoelstra is a top three coach in the NBA.
Right. They got Bam Adebayo.
And Bam is scary. Kelly Olynyk has the game of his life every single time against the Bucks.
I don't get it.
they have Andre Iguodala, who won an NBA Finals MVP by limiting LeBron to a triple-double.
Jimmy, who's probably a better defender than scoring.
Absolutely, and that's what he loves to do.
Right.
That team is scary.
Yeah, the Heat are, definitely.
And then they got Duncan Robinson, Tyler Hero. I mean, they just got shooters.
And Goran Dragic, who also is one of the dirtiest players out there.
Just asked George Hill.
Yeah. Is his voice back to his normal pitch?
No, I mean, George has always been a high-pitch guy. But
that is actually true.
Yeah.
But so those two teams absolutely scare the living daylight out of me.
Right.
And the Raptors, for good reason. They've bounced out of the playoffs two of the last 3 years.
I was just watching the final 4 minutes of them against the Lakers yesterday. I think they had like one good look, honestly.
Literally.
In the last like 4 minutes.
It was literally one good look.
That's crazy. I mean, they were just everywhere.
Yeah, no, and it's going to be a test for Mike Budenholzer, and especially Giannis coming
right
down the stretch here, because it's going to be as important as ever for him to be in the best shape of his life and to show his best basketball talent, based on everything you were just
right
saying. Because they have to be able to counter some of the things that these defenses are going to try to do against them.
Mm-hmm.
And it really depends on what they decide to do and how they decide to figure this out. But to null some of this fear of the teams, I mean, obviously the Bucks haven't beat the Heat this year.
Right.
But
right,
the only way that teams have been able to beat the Bucks all season is when they have lights out 3-point shooting games.
I think so the Bucks lost 12 games, and you know, a few of those were then when they weren't healthy. I think there were only two or three games where the Bucks just got outplayed.
Right.
And one of them was that Lakers game.
Dallas.
And Dallas. Well, Dallas, no, they kind of shot out the lights though.
But I mean, they just have good role players and all that. I mean, they're a good
right
team.
They're like the Bucks, I don't know. Kind of just what
you
were saying.
You either got to get Giannis in foul trouble, you have to be lights out from three, or you just have to play good defense and pray that somehow they have a bad night. And that's just the way you beat them.
So, based on that, I'm still hopeful from the amount of dominance we saw throughout the season, and obviously there was a big
right
break from the season to now. But I'm hopeful that this team, with the camaraderie, which we touched on last week, I think, of the team,
yeah,
that they're going to be able to piece things together and make a finals run.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I don't think that it's necessarily a shoe-in as much as a lot of fans in Milwaukee think it is.
100%.
Because I think a lot of fans in Milwaukee, if anybody ever says, oh, I'm picking somebody else in the East to make it to the finals, it's like, oh, it's blasphemy. All this person, I'm never listening to you again. You can't even talk about all of this BS.
I think before the bubble, it was safe to make that. But now when you see all these teams and how hard they're playing, I mean, there's no shoe-in, I don't think.
Well, a lot has happened. A lot has changed, and
right,
and it's okay to have some people consider that maybe the Bucks don't make the finals. Obviously, they're still the favorites, and they should still be the favorites,
right,
yeah,
because they have the best basketball player on the planet right now. But there's still so many other factors that could still go into this that are completely new because of the
yeah
fact they're playing in the bubble rather than playing in Pfizer Forum in most of these games.
And that's a good first win for them to get because they
yeah
they're
more breaking news, Bucks news this time. Sunday, Ken, we're coming to you on Sunday. Bledsoe and Connaughton are out again tonight.
Yeah.
Damn.
No surprise. But I mean, it's like I said,
that sucks because that means James Harden might just start doing his stuff without Eric Bledsoe out on the court.
Yeah.
George Hill's a good defender.
Yeah, but Bledsoe is the Harden stopper.
Bledsoe, man. Like he owns Harden.
He was first team all defense last year because of the way he stopped James Harden, pretty much.
But that Celtics win, man, it's a good first victory for them because
yeah,
there's
no
a lot
kidding
that they can take away. I mean, they're up. At one point, I thought they were going to just, you know, dub them by 20 points
yeah
or all that.
Right.
Yeah, and then they, you know, Celtics come back, and then it's a back-and-forth game. But even when it was a back-and-forth game, they were still able to hit clutch threes and all that, so... Like I said, there's a lot to build on, but I like the bubble, man.
Yeah.
I really do.
It's working.
My only problem is I thought without fans being in the stands that we'd see maybe less fouls in each game. We'd see a little more like cleanly called
game. Well, not yet anyway.
Right, but these first couple of days have been ridiculous.
I mean, you just
hear players screaming, yelling at everything, which you probably would hear anyways like if there wasn't fans in the stands in a regular game, but man, they're like, it's almost, I mean, like, I still prefer baseball because at one point, these games sometimes they just turn into a free throw shooting contest.
The reason that I think that the free throws are up is not because the refs can hear everything. It's because it goes back to what Giannis was saying, where one, he's so excited to be back out there that he's flailing everywhere.
Right.
And yeah. Two, these players are not in game shape.
Right.
So
right.
That's, I mean, if you look at the first couple weeks of the regular season, it's usually like that. Or it's like in preseason. That's usually just how it goes. So I think that that's something that as the games go on, they'll crack down on it. Because this is also training for the refs, too. Like, they need to get back to getting into their pocket of calling what and not calling
right.
what.
I mean, think of how many calls were missed or changed in that Bucks game. Like, I mean, that when Giannis kind of hit, I don't remember which Celtics player it was, but he kind of hit him in the groinal area when trying to get through a screen. Was it?
No, I thought you were talking about when Marcus faked the nut shot.
No, not that one. Okay. There was a different situation when Giannis was trying to get through his screen, and he kind of hit somebody in the groinal area, and it was a little bit of a flop.
It was Tice.
It's Tice. Yeah, that's what I thought. And that's what I thought.
I just had a buddy who told me.
Just wondering if he's a Hall of Famer. Yeah.
Yes.
Oh, we're so mean. Anyway,
it's okay.
So.
I want to remind you to continue going on your story.
But that was probably a foul when he hit Tice there, and it wasn't called. And so Marcus Smart has a point to some degree when he was talking about how the refs probably wanted to keep Giannis in the game. And you know what? What's wrong if they do? You know how many times LeBron James has not been called for fouls or Steph Curry?
Do you know how many times LeBron James has fouled out of a game in his career? This is an actual trivia.
Five. One time. Damn.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
And he argued it all the way to the bench.
Oh, I'm sure. And maybe this is just Giannis finally getting the MVP treatment that he should be getting.
More trivia. How many times did I foul out of a game when I played basketball?
Every game.
Once.
Ooh, look at you.
Me and LeBron.
What you're saying is you're basically LeBron.
That's
basically.
My twin.
Why are you working here then?
My pinned picture. My pinned picture on Twitter for a long time was a tweet that I made a long time ago where it was like. So I had a brief story time, very off base. My friends and I, we did YouTube videos in high school because it's fun. And, they're pretty good. One of the videos...
Can you drop a link, maybe?
They're all privated.
Boo.
For good reason.
Boo.
But I still watch them every now and then. One of our videos we did was, me talking about how much I love basketball. Like, it was a little sketch. And I had a bunch of, armbands and wristbands and stuff.
Oh, hell yeah.
And I put them all on. I had my personalized Bucks jersey and my headband, and I... stand there, and I'm standing on our green screen, and I'm flexing and all this stuff. And I took a still picture from that of me flexing my muscles like this. Well, muscles in quotes. And then I went to Google, typed in LeBron James flexing, and I put them together.
Superimposed.
I put them
side by side,
one on top of the other. And I was like, people keep telling me I look like LeBron James. Like, I don't know. Like, I think I kind of see it, but I think I'm a little bit more muscular than him. And it got 20 likes. I was like, oh damn, because that was back when I wasn't. I mean, I'm not popular now, but nobody liked me then, and I would get maybe a like on a tweet.
You're our Nikola Jokic.
I am.
And he's playing great. I mean, he's playing point guard now.
I love Nikola Jokic
but
so much.
Going back to what you were talking about.
Yeah,
real
sorry,
quick.
That was just a quick aside.
They were talking about it in the post game show, and I didn't really think about it until they brought it up after that game. Did you ever think that you would hear a opposing player complain about a Bucks player getting? Star calls?
No, I've been waiting for that my entire life.
I'm not used to it. It's weird. Like, on one hand, maybe Marcus Smart kind of had a point, but it's no. NBA said $15,000 fine for you talking about the refs and Giannis after the game.
I feel so bad for the refs that have to ref a Giannis game. Yeah. How do you ref that fairly?
Right.
Like, can we talk about, one highlight from that Celtics game where Giannis starts his drive from, the three-point line, does two steps, does an up and under under the basket and hits a shot while somehow not stepping out of bounds? How is that physically possible?
Dr. J-esque.
How is that physically possible? That might have been one of the most impressive plays in NBA history.
I was laughing.
That no one is talking
people
about.
People still call those travels that they don't know, the gather step is and all that. I mean, it's just his strides are so long that it's unfair.
Right. If that's a travel, watch James Harden. Which
every
is a
setback is a travel. What?
Like, it's a good transition.
I yawned. I'm sorry.
It's a good transition to the next thing that I wanted to talk about, which is previewing tonight's game against the Rockets, game two of the NBA bubble for the Bucks. We got the breaking news on the fan brought to you by Pennzoil.
The proof is in the Pennzoil.
The motor oil that cures. Proof is in the Pennzoil. Is that how it goes? I don't know.
I thought you were about to say the motor oil that cures COVID, and I was like,
no,
what?
No, not. I mean, I would try it if I had to.
I mean, people drink bleach. Maybe if I had to
take a little sipsy of some Pennzoil to cure the COVID, like, sure, I'm down.
Oh my!
So no Bledsoe, no Pat Connaughton. They didn't say anything about Marvin Williams though, so maybe he's either day to day or he's in the roster,
or maybe he just wasn't important enough to mention.
This is going to be an interesting game. The Rockets. Remember, their center is a 6'4" PJ Tucker.
Good defender though.
Very good defender. Robert Covington is on that team. Yeah. They've built their team.
6'6", I think
6'8" is Covington.
Okay.
Or he might even be 6'9", 6'10". He's a pretty tall dude, but he's not a fantastic post defender.
No, right.
As his 2K stats show.
that's what we base all of our knowledge off
of,
2K stats.
I played a game with Robert Covington last
night.
He's
so bad.
I really like him.
He's great in 2K, but he's terrible in real life.
Yeah, a little bit.
Anyway,
but I mean, Porzingis in the first game that the Rockets had, like, Porzingis was scoring really well, but I mean, the problem with him and why they're so small is their tempo is just so quick. I mean, they're just going up and down the floor, up and down the floor.
Which plays into the Bucks' favor because they like to run, which is, in a way.
You got to take Brook out then, and then you got to put Ersan probably. We're going to probably see a lot of Ersan tonight.
Or Marvin if he's healthy.
Yeah.
Or Giannis at the five, which I am more than fine with.
I think that would probably be the best situation. But I also do like the bully ball mentality. And I think we've seen it once against the Rockets this year where I'm pretty sure the last time they played the Bucks, not the opening game of the season, but the one after that, I'm pretty sure the Bucks still used Lopez fairly well and they gave him the rock a bunch. And I think they just tried to force the ball into the middle, which I wouldn't necessarily hate either. It's just on the offensive end where you have to worry.
I'm just more worried about Westbrook than Harden at this point.
Yeah, I mean, like we touched on a little bit, without Bledsoe, that's going to hurt you.
No, definitely. And that's really unfortunate. But honestly, with this Rockets team, they scored like 150-some points the other day, mostly because they got to the line and the game went into overtime.
Well, and also remember, and the Mavericks are not a defensive team.
That's what I was about to say. No. This is going to be their first defensive test for the Rockets this season. I mean, there's a lot of a lot of defenders, very good defenders on this Bucks team outside of just Giannis. Even Middleton is a pretty stout defender. He's not great, but he's good. And obviously, Brook Lopez in the paint, I mean, we'll see how they end up utilizing him tonight. It's going to be really interesting to see how successful this small ball lineup is against, like, the smallest of small ball lineups is against one of the tallest teams in the league in the Milwaukee Bucks, and how much that counteracts what the Bucks try to do.
I think this will be a very hot take, and I am in no way at all biased when I say this. I think we see DJ Wilson tonight.
Yeah, we saw him a couple minutes in the first game.
At like the end of the first half. If the tempo is as fast as the Rockets want it to be, I think that you need a guy like DJ who can sprint the court and do that kind of thing. You need someone like him in there. Like, you probably won't see much of Kyle Korver, although he's one of those like freaky endurance guys where he just keeps running.
Right.
You might see some Sterling over.
Crap, I was going to say something. I forgot.
Sorry.
No, you're good. I'm trying to remember.
I mean, imagine a lineup of probably George Hill, Dante, Sterling, Chris Middleton, Giannis tonight. Something like that. Because that's a lineup that can run. Or maybe instead of George Hill, you do Frank Mason.
Oh, God.
I like Frank Mason.
I do, but I just don't. He doesn't deserve minutes right now.
I don't think he's going to start. No,
I'm not saying for starting. I'm just saying, like, that's a lineup that could have some fun with their fast rotation. And that's the thing. Are the Rockets going to play Harden and Westbrook 40 minutes tonight. Are they going to be that dumb to play their starters like 40 minutes?
Probably.
I don't know.
That's what they always do.
Because I don't think Bud plays Giannis more than 33 or 34.
Yeah, he said he didn't, like, he wanted to hold him to 32 minutes in the first game, but game kind of dictated him to go one extra minute.
Yeah.
So, yeah, he's going to be very probably trigger-happy on the minutes for Giannis tonight.
Oh, it should be a good game. I'm excited to watch it.
Yeah, I'm excited. Hell, this will be my first game that I get to watch because I was at the Home Depot on Friday night, although I did have the box score. I did have the Bill Reads a box score up on the computer at Home Depot, so I was following along there.
Nice.
I was getting very excited, and I really hope that the customers weren't getting mad. And I also hope that you guys, the listeners, will not get mad at us. Because, you know, we're going to stop talking. We're going to go to our next segment, which is the best segment because we don't talk. It's the best on the fan this week. We'll be back. And with that, we are back. What you just missed was a lot of failed attempts by me to segue us back in a funny way.
Yeah, Evan. I remembered how all these NBA players are rusty with the hiatus. I think you're a little rusty with the hiatus too.
I really am. All I want to do is to be funny, but then I remember that I'm not.
Just stop it. You are.
I'm not, which is why this segment, I decided I'm going to stop talking, and I've also decided for both of you, because I'm your elder and the host today, that you're going to stop talking as well. Fine. And we're going to go to our best of this week, and we got some good ones. We're going to start out with, I guess this one was a couple weeks ago, because remember, this is our second week back. We have a lot of backlog that we want to get to. It was Gary Ellerson's birthday a couple weeks ago. And then that same weekend, it was Leroy's birthday.
Yeah.
So kind of interesting for that. The big show, you planned a really big show.
Yeah.
Of a lot of Gary's friends, some former Packers.
Yeah, we had Gilbert Brown on. Lynn Dickey joined us. We had, I can't remember. He's now the AD at UW Oshkosh. Used to be a Badger. Was a former first round pick. Can't remember his name. I think it's something Sims. Anyway.
Great guy. Love him to death.
Yeah. Cool. So we had those three guys, and then Rami ended up joining us.
Former host of the Wendy's Big Show.
And whenever Rami hops on the Big Show now, and even back when he was the host.
You get some good stuff.
Things take a turn. And when you start talking about Netflix, as they like to call it, or as Gary used to call it before
Netflix.
Rami informed him, Gary started watching this show because for whatever reason, Gary's taken a turn in his life. In the last, 6 months.
Hmm?
And he now loves the wilderness and, fishing and stuff like that. Where, last year, or even when I was an intern, he, made fun of people that fished. But now he fishes, every single day. So he has, taken a turn for his life. And he started watching this show called Alone on Netflix. And if you ever heard of the show Alone, basically the premise of it is that they train, 12 or 15 people based on a landscape. And then they drop them off in this really rugged terrain, nobody around, wolves and bears and all these different wildlife creatures around, and they're supposed to survive for as long as they can only based on the terrain that they live on. And then if you get hurt or attacked, which hasn't happened yet in any of the seasons that happen, or you're starving or you have medical problems, you can hit a button and then a helicopter flies out to your location and picks you up.
So there aren't even cameramen there.
No, they all do their own camera work. Mm. So you have to set up your own camera work, talk to your camera a certain amount of times per day, and then they send the footage back so people see what's actually happening in your life.
Wow.
And that's basically how the show works. And you're allowed to take 10 items with you. Gary wasn't so sure about all the things that ended up happening in this show, and he's trying to explain it in a very poor way. And here it is.
Have you ever seen that show Alone?
Oh, my God.
Yes.
Brother, you seen it?
Yes.
On Netflix?
Yes, on Netflix, yeah.
Yeah, on Netflix?
Yeah.
I think I want to be on that. I think I can do that. I watched the last one last night. I think it was season 7. I forget which one it was.
What is it about?
It's almost like Naked and Afraid.
Oh, no.
But But they get to have, like, you know, gear and stuff, so they're not naked. Right,
yeah,
Rummy?
No, they're dressed. Yeah, no, they are not naked. They are dressed. They have some equipment out there, but they're dropped out there literally alone. Like, there's no.
Where is there? Room. Like, in a forest? Like, what is
wherever,
there?
Wherever.
But this last one was in Antarctica, I think.
Yeah.
I'd rather have them dropped in, like, Las Vegas and see what happens.
Yeah.
Yeah, just saying.
I know one guy might die if you do that. And he was on the air right before we came on.
Well, Tim Allen, there is Tim Allen, yeah.
Right, you don't want to drop him off in Vegas, don't come get him. But anyway, Steve, so Steve, they dropped these jokers off in Antarctica, some doggone where like that. And this joker killed a moose.
A moose?
Yeah, man.
What are you watching?
Yeah, he killed a moose. With a bow and arrow.
Of course.
And then what did he do with it? Did he, like, butcher it and eat it?
Well, because it's in Antarctica, right? I mean, so he put it on the outside, hung it up in trees, and made this huge, big old tall bed he put him up on. The only problem was he had these wolverines would come and get it, scale the doggone tree.
What?
Yeah.
What?
So the wolverine was come getting his food.
This
running.
Is
he
not
set
real.
Rumdog, no, he right. set a trap for the wolverine, caught him by the toe, sliced his head right off.
You know, I got to give it to Makaloff. Every time you're on the air with Gary, I get stuff like this. It's just amazing.
Right. You should.
We got the best of them. What can I say?
Steve, you got to see this alone thing. I think it's, is it alone? I think that's what it's called.
So based on my description and the one that Gary just gave you with the moose and the wolverine and naked but not naked and Netflix and all that kind of stuff, I think I did maybe a little bit better job than he did, but he was much more entertaining and it was pretty funny.
I miss Rami.
I miss Rami too. Hopefully there's an avenue for him to come back here someday.
Hopefully.
But now let's focus on somebody who is here and has been here for the last several years, and that is the one and only Bill Michaels.
The big unit of Bill Michaels here.
How we looking?
It was an interesting week on the Bill Michaels show this week. Was this the week that I came back from vacation? No, that was last week that I was on vacation. This week, we had some pretty big guests. Bill did a couple of shows from home. He did a show from the Tiki Bar,
ooh,
which is his backyard, which is, but it is really, it's a fantastic
really nice
setup.
Yeah.
Sponsored by Traeger Grills, so he was cooking some nice Robert specialty meats on there. Had some really nice Bud Light.
Speaking of sponsors, Nick Gartner.
Yeah, I forgot to mention we are broadcasting from our Nick Gartner fan studios.
Yep.
Quick aside, because you maybe mentioned the studio, we will not be getting our studio back.
Yeah, that was supposed to happen, where we're supposed to move into the OG Nick Gartner studio.
And then people that are our bosses' bosses' bosses
said no.
Yeah, so we're still in the KISS Studios studio, which is a very nice place to do it.
Yeah,
actually.
It's actually not that bad. I mean, it's a little bit annoying because we don't have enough headsets for everybody.
It's
like
really
headphone
hot in
jacks,
here.
And then the temperature is always really bad in here. But outside of that.
But anyway, Bill Michaels is also hot right now. Ooh. He's got all these great things happening. But no, I don't mean in like he's.
No,
he's
I was just thinking
attractive.
About how I'm making that a drop.
Oh, man. I really do it to myself, don't I? No, that's another one! I honestly, it may seem like I did that on purpose. I promise you I did not. Anyway, Bill found out that Chad Ochocinco played games on the influence of Viagra.
On the influence of Viagra.
That's an influence.
Yeah.
Not that I would know personally.
It's an influence to certain parts of your body.
Sure. As Chad Johnson or Chad Ochocinco says, how can you stop him when he has three legs? And Bill talks a little bit about it right here.
Did you hear what was said on the Bill Michaels Show?
Chad Ochocinco reveals to the world that he took Viagra before every game. Now, why? There have been studies that have proven that Viagra can increase muscle. It's hard for me to read that. Production. I feel like I'm in high school. When asked why he used it, the medicine, he decided to spare his followers the detailed explanation and give them a more fitting response. How are you going to stop me running on three legs every Sunday? Oh, my goodness. Now, see, you can always say it gives new meaning to the meaning going up and over, or, oh, man, he got ear hold. So, Chad Ochocinco taking Viagra before every game. Hey, if you're going to do it, do it. If you're not being tested for it at your job, don't worry about it. And if you are being tested for it and it pops up and they say, boy, you're taking a lot of Viagra, say, well, you know, how we looking?
Weekdays from 10 until 2, it's the Bill Michaels Show, only on Sports Radio 105.7 FM. The Fan, a radio.com sports station.
So you hear the stabs on the at beginning and the end, and I can answer your question, yes. That is a legitimate promo that I made that is on air.
Yes, it runs.
It runs. It runs on the radio.com app where you can listen to us. I don't think it runs on, excuse me, I sip some water, on the Apple podcast because I don't know if they do many ads or that kind
are
of thing.
Are we on Apple Podcasts?
We are. That's where I listen.
Have Sam and Dan?
That's not true. I listen on the freeradio.com.
Somebody asked me the other day, and I was like, I don't know if I'm on Apple. We're on Apple.
We are.
We're not on Spotify, though, right?
No, because Spotify is a whole other beast.
Right. Okay.
Cool. You have to, like, pay.
I'll let the people know that we're wondering how they could listen to us, that they can also listen to us.
We're on Apple Podcasts. Just look up the producers.
Mm-hmm. We're, like, the second or third.
Los Producerores.
Nope. No. We're going to move right past that into our number one spot of the week. Does anyone have any guesses as to who it is?
Rick!
And it's not an all-time Rick.
Jesus.
Yeah.
Well, Rick did step up to the plate, man, because...
Yeah,
we were in a time of need, and Rick and came to the rescue.
With so much breaking news, we needed Rick to do an update, and he did.
Bucks are going to win the whole thing. What are you talking about?
Oh, yeah. I mean,
Rick, you want to do an update for us?
Sports Flash right now.
Rick, go ahead. Give me your thoughts on the Brewers. This is our 8:30 update.
By the way, the NHL is back. The NHL is back. Better than ever.
Keep going.
NHL is back playing hockey.
Yep.
And it's better than ever. The game yesterday between the Islanders and Rangers was a really good game.
How did the Brewers do last night?
Brewers won by the bullpen.
Give me some stats.
Christian Stapp won that game.
Yeah, give me some stats.
Huh?
What else do you know is going on? What's going on with the Packers?
I don't really know about that. And they're, you know, as far as Packers go, it's not even training. But when does training camp start this week?
Yeah,
you're doing the update. You should know.
What do you think about college football? Is it going to happen?
Yeah, what about Notre Dame in the ACC?
I do believe it's going to happen. Notre Dame will be in the ACC, and I wish, and I really want them in a Big Ten.
What about golf this weekend? Who's the top of the leaderboard?
Golf is an entertainment. It's not a sport.
And this update's brought to you by who, Rick?
By 105.7 The Fan.
And Robert's special teammates.
All right, Rick, thank you. Good job. Bye. You're pretty hired.
Good. Bye. Later.
All right.
All in all, not a terrible first update.
I've
from
heard
Rick.
Worse.
I have absolutely heard
I've
worse.
I've done worse.
I have also
we all have.
Done worse. I mean, you ask anyone who's been here, from Billy Baby Tau Schmid to Anthony Mandela, our good friend, who we mentioned.
To Andy Spitzer, who did the traffic updates.
Yes, that's true. And also some updates on the Varsity Blitz High School Football Scoreboard Show.
Oh, yeah.
Which
we've,
is
we've all flopped on air before.
I mean,
high pressure situations like on updates.
I think about the time where I was talking about John Horse in an update, and I said the Bucks will continue to have success going forward. Austin was actually an intern at that point. Austin, Texas. He's another of the producers that we have here. And afterwards, because I played a cut of John Horse, I turned off my mic and I immediately looked at him and I said, don't you dare say a word. Don't you dare. He's on the floor laughing. So that was one. There was also the time where
Freudian slips happen all too often. The other day, Sparky was talking about the Marlins and the Marlins situation, and he called them the melons.
I mean, that's
what's the difference?
My other bad update story is it was a day that, like, I got called at like 8 in the morning or 9 in the morning to come in and help on Bill's show from like 10 to 1 or whatever. Because Ryan had to go and do something, like he had a family emergency. So I said yes. I was not warmed up, had to do an update. And this was right when they wanted us to start really pushing teases in an update. And so I forgot to ask Joe what was next on the show. So it goes like, coming up next on the Bill Michaels Show, are you... whatever, we'll see you next time. And that's how the update ended.
Yeah. I mean,
I remember Joe was really pissed about
the look on his face. I will never forget. Could you imagine hearing an update and the guy goes, you know what, never mind, we'll see you next time. That's literally what I said. I said, we'll see you next time on an update.
Not even like next segment. Like, we'll see you,
I just said, never mind, we'll see you next time.
The two worst things that I've done on air was I was here for a Packers game, and I worked from the Packers game start all the way through the Packers post game, through a 2.5 hour post game with Joe, because Joe wanted to take it long because he was getting calls. And it was in that second hour that I started doing an update, and it was going fine until it was actually right after the Lions. It was one of the Lions games where Mason Crosby kicked a game winning field goal. I think it was the first one. And so I was frustrated at the Lions losing, then had to listen to 3 hours of Bill and Gary talk about the Lions losing. And I'm a Lions fan, by the way. Then another 2.5 hours of people calling in saying how much the Lions suck with Joe. And at this point, I have been at the studio for almost 11 hours. And I have to do this update. And the cut that I'm trying to play of Mason Crosby kicking the field goal, which at this point I've heard 150 times. I'm trying to play it during my update, and it doesn't play because the computer freezes.
Yeah,
and so then I didn't realize this, but I'm like hitting the space bar, and in the update, you can hear me banging on the space bar, and it's not working. And Joe just chimes in, and he goes, Dan, updates are hard, aren't they? He's like, it sounds like you're struggling a little back there. I was like, yeah, the computer just froze. And he was like, yeah, it happens to all of us. And then he just continues and takes over the show from there. And it was really awkward. Well, so that happened. And then about 3 weeks ago, we were having some issues with our satellite, which brings in what CBS Sports is. So if you hear Zach Gelb, if you hear, I think we have...
JR Sports Brief.
Yeah, JR Sports Brief, Amy Lawrence. All those guys are through CBS Sports. That comes in via satellite. We were having some problems with it, and I was the only one in the studio. And so this was literally like 2 weeks ago. And I took over, and Sparky was like, okay, I need you to just say something on air. Say you're Dan Plucker from the Wendy's Big Show, and then you need that like, we're going to play back an interview. And I was like, okay. So I get on the air, and I'm like, hey, what's up, guys? It's Dan Plucker. I'm the executive producer of the Wendy's Big Show. We're going to play back an interview here. It's this interview. Thanks for the time. And I was like, oh, classic finish there. Thanks for the time, I say to all of the people who are listening to our radio station.
Remember a couple weeks ago where I had to do an interview for Bill because his internet dropped out?
Yeah. And there was the one time where it wasn't a bad situation, but it was funny when you were pestering Joe when he was at the Rose Bowl
That was a Bart.
A Bart
instrument.
Idea.
And it's funny.
That was
it's
funny. Funny. Yeah.
But, I mean,
Sam, how about you? Any Freudian slips or bad things that have happened to you while you've been talking on air?
I don't know about on air. I really haven't had that many opportunities to talk on air. Not really many that come to mind. I mean, I feel like I've had like more board slip-ups than anything.
Yeah.
Because I run...
Which we all do.
Right. So, I don't know. I've filling in on Bart's show mostly now, and if like the guys need a day off, and I finally like feel comfortable doing updates after like a year. So... Like I give Rick props, man.
Yeah,
it's tough.
Good job,
it's
Rick.
To step in. Yeah, my first one, I was a nervous wreck.
Me too.
My problems was stuttering.
The Polish pipe bomb. Jeff Orlowski was the one running the board for that.
Oh.
and he was like cheering me on and stuff. And
he turns and he doesn't turn down the bed for the music. Oh no, he turns the bed all the way off for the music, so you can't even hear it. So you don't know pretty where much. You are in the update, because at times you can like hear the different riffs in the update where mm-hmm. you know, like, oh, I have about this much time left without actually looking at the time. But Jeff, when he does it, he turns it all the way down and then all the way back up when you're done.
See, I was lucky enough to have watched Chuck do a ton of updates, so I saw him do the timer. And so every time I do an update, I do the timer.
That's smart. Well, now we don't do updates at all anymore, but that's besides the point.
That's, yeah. Which, honestly, wasn't thrilled that they got rid of him, but now I'm
happy about it. Yeah, I would rather not do them. I can focus on other things. Anyway,
we've been talking for
a really long time
about that. And we've just been talking a lot more in general. And I need a break. I need a beer. I need to go to Chipotle. Please. I need to watch the Bucks tonight.
I need to go back to making my $260,000 as a producer.
Well, right. No kidding. So, with all that said, thank you to Rick. Thank you to Anthony Mandela. Thank you, Nick Gartner. Thank you, Andy Spitzer. Thank you to everyone who's listening. Thank you, Bleacher Report, for featuring us again, maybe.
Maybe?
Question mark?
Exclamation mark? Just, question mark?
That could be you.
Don't be a Marcus Smart.
Did we do Don't Be a Dumbass last week?
We didn't do Don't Be a Dumbass last week.
I'm just realizing.
No, I thought we did.
Are you sure?
I'm pretty sure. I was the one editing the podcast. I'm pretty sure.
I hope so.
No, we did.
All right, well,
even if we didn't,
don't be a dumbass like us and forget to do it again.
Yeah. And with all of that said, I'm a dumbass. And I'm ready to enjoy some Chipotle and a beer. So it's time for me to go. And you to go. And he to go.
And us to go.
Have a good one. You're done.
Bye.
Yeah, I kind of went off a little bit. I didn't do it.
Beer time.
I was like...